This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, got a couple of football stories. And this one is something to pay attention to. Because the Denver Broncos, we've been doing our opponent previews. Or mine anyway, because Micah's picking them to win every game. Today is the Philadelphia Eagles. Ooh, we'll get to that one later on in the 1 o'clock hour. But in week two, the Broncos will take on the Indianapolis Colts. And here's a little bit of a shocker. Shane Steichen said that Daniel Jones is going to be the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts instead of their 2023 first round pick, Anthony Richardson. He said, I think the guys have taken to him. He's a great communicator with the guys. You can see that veteran presence out there. So I'm excited for that. Said he was asked in the press conference if this was going to be a permanent move. He said, he's our starting quarterback for the season. I don't want to have a quick leash on that. I feel confident in his abilities. Is this kind of a shocker? I mean, Anthony Richardson was like, he's on the hot seat, man. But now he's completely off the seat. And it's going to be Daniel Jones' football team.
Now, was he pulled or did Anthony Richards pull himself and put himself on the bench?
Like he did last year. Wasn't he the guy that did that last year?
He was, because he was so tired.
Oh, gosh. Don't. Eastside Chris. Now, let me get to my stories. No, this is a top story. You're going to make his head just explode. No disrespect to your other producers, but Micah brings an eerie ambiance to the show. Sometimes disturbing. I think that's a compliment. Because he's saying no disrespect to the other producers, but you bring something. You bring something to it. It's better than what I thought. I didn't think you were going to bring much of anything, honestly. My hopes were, like, my ceiling for you was like a hobbit ceiling. It was not high. So I think you've busted through that, man. Well done.
That's like the second Lord of the Rings.
Twice today, huh? But I'm a Lord of the Rings fan. I'm not as nerdy and weird about it like you are with Star Trek and stuff. But I'm a nerd. I'm a nerdy guy.
Yeah, you are. And there's nothing wrong with being a fan of Lord of the Rings.
Not at all. It's the greatest trilogy that's ever been created.
I mean, I would disagree. The very great trilogy.
What's the best
Hobbit
trilogy?
Wasn't great.
No, The Hobbit was bad. Cincinnati Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson remains entrenched, according to ESPN, in his position on not playing in the upcoming season. Are they going to trade him? This is the Bengals, man. They don't let go of guys easily. You remember Carson Palmer, and then you know Shamar Stewart, their rookie linebacker. They already had issues there, but they did get that contract done. Let's see here. Laura Rutledge of ESPN reported that Hendrickson told her that he and the team are in close agreement to the total average annual salary and the length of the deal. The sticking point remains the guaranteed money and a potential extension, with Cincinnati's stance on not providing secured salary after the first season, leaving progress at a standstill. Get the deal done. The sooner they get this deal done, the sooner the Broncos can get their deal done. With Nick Bonitto, as Benjamin Albright told us last week, they've got an offer to him. They made an offer, but Benito's camp, they're kind of waiting to see what Micah Parsons and Trey Hendrickson are going to do, because that's going to reset the market for pass rushers. And Nick Benito, based on the information we have right now, is one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. So he's going to want that kind of money. That's an interesting story to keep an eye on, too. But, yeah, the Colts are going with a different quarterback. The Bengals can't seem to get it done with Trey Hendrickson, although maybe they're getting close. And then you have rookie quarterback scuffles with a defensive tackle in minicamp. Rookie quarterback Cam Ward of the Tennessee Titans, who the Broncos will face in week one. Coming up, Mike, we're getting dangerously close. He got after it with a D tackle, man. It was 96 degrees while they were practicing, and apparently everybody just got a little too hot. Ward threw a touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley toward the end of practice and went to celebrate. The rookie quarterback stopped and gave Jeffrey Simmons a shove before doing his trademark Zombieland celebration in front of him. Simmons reacted with a two-hand push to Ward's face mask, and the offensive line ran to Ward's defense. Dan Moore Jr., the left tackle for the Titans, was asked, was basically saying, hey, no one can touch the quarterback. It's not allowed in training camp at all, even if it's a shove like that. So he was asked about it, and left tackle Dan Moore Jr. said, absolutely not. That goes without saying. You cannot touch the quarterback.
Hey, if the quarterback starts it, you got to finish it.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
If he pushed him, he pushed him first.
You push him first. Like, if the quarterback's going to misbehave, you got to put the quarterback back in his place.
Yeah. We'll see. That one. But this is camp, man. These guys are chomping at the bit. You know, they're ready to go up against real competition, and they are playing competition, but the starters really are just experimenting right now. They're not in the full thing. So I never really am stunned when I see scuffles going on, but you don't always see a quarterback scuffle. That's kind
of
usually a rare
one. Like, it's like offensive line, defensive line mad at each other because they can't hit another player. When the quarterback gets involved, it's weird.
Is there a quarterback in the NFL that you think could hold his own against defensive lineman? Is it Josh Allen? Is that the guy?
He can do a great job running away.
You don't think Josh Allen could muscle up a few big dudes?
I mean, if he caught him by surprise.
Could Baker Mayfield throw it around a little bit?
Again, if he caught him by surprise.
Baker seems scrappy. Who do you think the best fighter is at starting quarterback?
That's a really good question.
Oh, Jalen Hurts is tough. He's tough. He's a silent killer. Like that guy, he's not talking a lot. He would probably take him a while to get pissed off, but once he did, look out. And you can see how that dude squats. He's a strong quarterback. Tua knows like karate or something. He was practicing karate to avoid sacks or something. Oh, there it is. Jiu-jitsu. Go Pokes just texted that. Tua does jits. See, that's what I was wanting to say. I can't say it, apparently.
Is that the one that they use in the UFC?
I don't know. It's karate-type stuff. But Tua was doing it so he could avoid sacks, maybe? I don't know. He'd be one maybe to not mess with.
Honestly, as long as he avoids concussions.
Joe Burrow, no. He's Macaulay Culkin. You know, without all of his tricks, he can't stop the robbers. He's got all of his marbles and cars and stuff and his buckets of paint. Without all that, Joe Burrow probably couldn't fight. Jared Goff, I don't think so. I'm not talking about could I take them. No, I'm talking about if they got in a brawl at camp, who would actually hold their own?
Bo Nix would not hold his own. Bo Nix would be very nice and try to be a leader, and he'd get his butt whooped.
Baker Mayfield, I think, would be scrappy. Geno Smith, I don't think so. Sam Darnold, no.
Geno Smith would get punched, and he'd have his jaw broken again.
Lamar Jackson, he's the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. I just don't know that he's throwing a lot of punches, especially to big dudes like that.
I think he would have to tire out. If we're talking about punches, none of the quarterbacks win. But if we're talking about if you're a full-out fight, you're allowed to use all your weapons, Lamar Jackson's the guy.
Really?
He can tire him out.
You think so? He just kind of does like the Muhammad Ali, like float like a butterfly, sting like a bee thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he can't take too many punches, though.
I think you're writing Josh Allen off too fast, dude. He's a monster human. He's a big dude. Go Pokes just texted in Josh. I would say Josh.
Of course, Go Pokes would say that.
I would say Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Tua just because he maybe knows how to fight. He's learned how to fight.
I know, but you catch Tua, like, just one way.
Shot
he's gone.
Got
one shot. The poor guy's had so many concussions.
Big Hub, I watched the Rockies Dodgers game last night, so I didn't see the preseason Monday Night Football game. But because Big Hub says, what the hell was Joe Burrow doing? Was that with Joe Burrow in the first quarter? What happened? I saw something and then I was going to go research it, but I didn't watch the game, so I wasn't going to talk about it. But let me know. Interesting. Another text here. Richardson didn't show a lot of leadership last season. Tapping out isn't screaming leadership. Yeah. Yeah, that pulled himself out. I've never seen that before, have you? Outside of an injury. Like a quarterback's just like, yeah, I'm done. I can't play anymore. I don't.
Yeah, that's the second time in the history of the NFL I can remember a quarterback getting tired. Only Donovan McNabb, like, didn't run on the sidelines. He just got really tired in the fourth quarter of, I don't remember.
Well, do you remember the Super Bowl? Yeah, that was the Super Bowl, wasn't it? They were in the 2-minute drill, and they were gassed. He could barely get to the line. He looked like he was just ready to collapse. That was insane. And who knows, if he would have been not so damn tired, they could have come back and won that game. But I think that was against the Patriots.
It was, yeah. I was a big fan of his, not necessarily the Eagles, but loved the guy. Just unfortunately, not as athletic as he could have been.
All right, I'm watching this. Joe Burrow, what did he do? Okay, he's avoiding a sack. He goes up, pump fake, turns around, spin, circle, goes all the way. And then he gets sacked for like 80 yards. Wow. He just kept running back. Okay, that's what he did.
That's what you can get away with that in college.
Look at this.
Can't get away with that in the NFL.
Look at him go. Watch. Oh, I'm taking off. Spinnerooski. Yeah, let me go back 20 yards. There's a guy. And he's down. Was that a safety? Almost a safety. Wow. That was a big sack. Cody Tucker, coming up next, 7220sports.com. What kind of hope does he have for this Cowboys team? He talked a little bit about that last week, so we'll talk to Cody coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
For more on KFKA programs, podcasts, sports schedule, and news, go to 1310kfka.com.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Joining me now, let's talk some Wyoming Cowboys football with none other than Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. He's our Cowboys insider. Cody, I had to do it, man. I know you're disappointed in me, but I the Rockies got to 35. And I did remove the beard. The beard is gone. It's no more.
Does it feel weird?
It's cold. My face is cold. It's chilly. And it is strange. I still haven't got I'm getting my hair cut on Thursday. So the long hair paired with the no beard is not a fun look, man. I would not grow the hair by itself.
I've been rocking the weird mustache look now for like 6 months, and I have no idea why. But this beardless life is weird. I think it's going to be making a comeback.
I'll probably let it grow again. I just won't let it get as long as it, because it was just getting out of control. Because the rule was I couldn't trim it up at all, couldn't do anything. So I think if I take care of it as it grows, because I did. I got the little adjusters, and I'm trying to trim it, and it just looked awful. So I don't have that skill set. So I think if I can manage it as it grows, might be the best solution for me.
Well, thankfully, the mighty Colorado Rockies got their 35th win in mid-August.
That's awesome. Yeah, now 36, Cody. They beat the Dodgers last night. 36, so don't look now. I mean, here come the Rockies. There was a scrimmage a few days ago, Cody. Talk to me about some of the things that stood out to you with this Cowboys team, and then we're going to get into kind of like the expectations for this team as well, based off what you witnessed last week.
Yeah, I tell you what, they did a lot of different things in the scrimmage. It wasn't just a straight up, you know, it wasn't like this spring game by any stretch. They did some scenario stuff. And tell you what, I was really impressed with most of all was the two minute drill. Really moving along, moving quick, guys in and out, right personnel. Chris Deere Jr. is, I keep saying it, but he's just a menace. And he caught four passes on that drive, the one drive I'm talking about specifically. And he finds a soft spot in the zone, and he just looks absolutely uncoverable. And, you know, linebackers on him, good luck. Safeties give him so much cushion because he can dust them up top too. And then he starts wiggling out of things, and he's really slippery getting out of stuff. So he's just he is a really big weapon. And the Cowboys saw that on third down last year, and he's just their third down killer. And, you know, they didn't really have a lot of their other guys. You know, even Durr only played a couple of drives, but, you know, Gillenborg wasn't out there. Jack Walsh and Caden Barnett weren't out there. So, but it was just really efficient. And then Bryson Brantley, a wide receiver who was on the team last year, he just one of those freshmen that just didn't get much time last year. And he caught a 58-yard touchdown strike from backup quarterback Landon Brown. And the double move that he put on Dameis Miller on the outside was unbelievable. I actually couldn't see it very well, so I figured the corner fell down. He didn't fall down. He absolutely bit on the double move, and it was a thing of beauty. So Bryson Brantley's a guy to keep an eye on. He's been really good in the spring, really good in this game, really good all throughout the camp. And, you know, he also, to put a cherry on top, blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown.
Wow.
So really good stuff from him, the kid they call Slim out of Houston, Texas. He might be the sleeper guy on the outside who could maybe be the guy who replaces Jalen Sargent next year.
So Bryson Brantley, Chris Sturr Jr., these guys, it sounds like the wide receivers, at least through the scrimmage, kind of stealing the show at this point.
Yeah. It can't be overstated. Getting Javon Bonite back in this program, obviously, you know, he was a star quarterback at Manual High School in Denver and then came to Wyoming and was an All-American type guy for 4 years. If it wasn't for guys like Marcus Harris and Ryan Yarbrough, he would be the all-time leading receiver in Wyoming football history. And to get him back in the mix, you know, he's a guy who's been at Oregon and Kentucky and all those great Utah State teams back in the day as a wide receiver coach. To get him back in the fold and get some new blood at that position, you know, Mike Grant was there for 9 years, and that was just, you know, you guys know. The wide receiver room at Wyoming hasn't exactly struck fear in anyone over the last decade. So they needed a change there, and we've heard all camp, spring, fall, Javon Bonite, he has his stamp on this wide receiver group, and he might be the unsung hero of the offseason.
Well, and it kind of sounds like, you know, last year that was the big push from Jay Sovell was, you know, we're going to stay true to our ways, kind of, you know, running the ball, great, solid defense, but we want to throw the ball. We want to air it out a little bit. And obviously didn't really see that for the most part last season. But now with these weapons another year in, it seems like maybe, you know, a year later, we might actually start to see a little bit of what Jay Sovell was talking about last season.
Well, Jay has made no secret that the personnel last year, for the most part, at the wide receiver room was not up to par, we'll just say. He definitely makes no secret that he was not a fan of a lot of the wide receivers he had out there, and he made some moves immediately in the offseason to rectify that. And there's a reason guys aren't here anymore. And, you know, I think we've talked about it on your show a number of times. When people enter the transfer portal, they always say, oh, the grass isn't always greener. Yeah, well, you know, sometimes the coaches tell these guys to take a hike. And that absolutely happened in Laramie with some guys. And they just revamped that entire room. And now it's got Javon Bonite's fingerprints all over it. And what better guy to learn from? And, man, he still looks like he could play today. He's an absolute player's coach. He called Chris Deere, which Chris Deere, I mean, let's be real. I think every Wyoming fan was thinking, this guy ain't coming back. I mean, this guy is just prime for the transfer portal. He's going to go somewhere and make some big money. Javon Bonite called him every single day this summer and checked on him and, you know, told him how important he was to this team. And Chris Deere Jr. is back in the fold. In fact, I'm doing a story right now. You know, Bill Connolly from ESPN every year puts out the, you know, the returning production story on ESPN. And Wyoming's returning 80% of its production on offense from last year. And that's the fourth best mark in FBS. And there's a reason for that. It's the relationships Jay Sovell and a guy like Javon Bonite have built. with these guys and Joe Tripodi and Shannon Moore, you know, the offensive line coach and tight end coach, respectively. They're beloved by their players. I mean, let's be real, Brady. That was a 3-9 team last year. A lot of things went wrong. And to return 80% of your production, including a guy like John Michael Gillenborg, who could literally play at any school in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it says a lot. It really speaks volumes, and I don't think they get enough credit for it.
Well, yeah, talk to me about that a little bit, Cody. Like, what is – obviously, you're talking about the relationship building is a big reason these guys are coming back. What is the NIL situation like for Wyoming?
You know, I can't really put a number on it, per se, but, you know, they are. I wrote a story about it a few weeks ago. They plan on spending about $2.8 million on the roster, and they've been very open about that. And guys are getting theirs, but to be honest with you, if it was all about money, a guy like John Michael Gillenborg wouldn't still be here.
Right.
You know what it is? It's War Memorial Stadium's packed for every home game. People in the state care. You're the only show in town, and then – you know, you can't overstate the relationship with the head coach. I mean, think if somebody's recruiting Brady Hull, and maybe it's Oregon, and their wide receiver coach maybe shoots you a text every week, you know, that's cool. Or it's Wyoming, and I'm talking about Dion DeBlanc from Houston, wide receiver. Or it's the head coach at the University of Wyoming who calls you every single day, flies down and visits you, talks to everybody in your circle, knows your parents, you know, the whole nine. That's the head coach. And then when you get on campus, he still talks to you, and he still, you know, the promises, quote unquote promises he made are coming to fruition. Like Dion DeBlanc will be the punt returner this year. That's something that Jay Sobel told him he envisioned. And they're both holding up to their end of the bargain. And, you know, your word is very important, and those relationships are so important. And not to dump on Craig Bohl, but he took a CEO approach to this thing. And Jay is taking an approach where, hey, I'm going to go lift weights with you. Hey, you guys want to wear a different jersey combination, uniform combination? Cool. Well, you know, just play your ass off. That's all I care about.
It does seem like you're getting the best of both worlds ultimately. And I know last season was rough, but if this thing can start to work, you know, season starting up next week against Akron, you can have a lot of the things that were great about Craig Bohl. But the relationship factor part of that might really be the big thing that separates the two, and maybe can get the Cowboys over that hump, because they've with Craig Bohl, they were always a pretty darn good team. You know, they were always kind of right in the mix, it seemed like, late in the season. But being able to have that passing attack and then keep those guys coming back every year, that's going to be critical if the Cowboys want to, you know, have sustained success.
Yeah, I think it's really, really important. You know, think about a guy like Evan Sabota. That dude has been through the ringer. Craig Bohl and Andrew Peasley sat behind a podium after the Arizona Bowl and said, this guy's the next dude. You know, Andrew Peasley said, hey, I played with Jordan Love at Utah State. I watched on my visit to Utah State, I watched Wyoming play Utah State, and Josh Allen was the quarterback at Wyoming. Evan Sabota is the only other guy I've seen who can throw a football like those two guys. And then you have Josh Allen himself saying, yeah, I play the new NCAA video game, and I'm always Wyoming because they have a quarterback who can throw it over the mountains. things don't pan out, clearly, you know, like we talked about last week. His first pass attempt of 2024 is a pick six in his hometown. You know, it just everything that could go wrong for that poor dude went wrong, and the majority of the fan base was absolutely brutal to this kid. And he goes into the coach's office, who he trusts and loves so much, and says, hey, I want to make a position change because I want to help this team win. And I feel like Caden's the right guy to be a quarterback. Maybe I can play tight end. I just want to play in the NFL. I want to help this team win. And then he comes back the next year. You're telling me Wyoming's opening opponent, Akron, wouldn't take a chance on Evan Sabota at quarterback?
Yeah,
or
sure.
Or any other MAC team for that matter? I mean, he could have gone somewhere else and said, you know what? Those people turned on me. You know, I'm a quarterback. I've been training for this my whole life. Instead, he's staying here. He's a tight end, and apparently, by all accounts, he's a damn good one.
Well, and to come back knowing that you have a potential guy that's going to play on Sundays in Gillenborg, to come back and say, yeah, I still think I can help this team, knowing that even if he is phenomenal at tight end, he's not going to be the number one option at tight end.
Yeah, well, and what does it say to you when you're like, wow, Gillenborg's coming back, Durr's coming back, Jim Anderson's coming back, Sargent's back, Walsh, Barnett. I mean, I think a lot of other guys probably said, why would I leave? All these dudes are staying, and, you know, we have it pretty damn good here. Things are pretty good, and I tell you, Brady, I'm breaking down Akron as we speak because we're Jay Sawbell's first press conference of the season is on Friday. Wyoming fans think they have it bad. In the transfer portal, CSU fans think they have it bad. They don't have it bad. Akron, they have it bad. And it is it's dire. And I just started looking into them. And I tell you what, every guy you click on ESPN, on their profile, they're at a new school. And they lost all their production. And, you know, a team like Akron with Ohio State in your backyard and West Virginia right across the border, and I mean, you're surrounded by a lot of big programs that are just licking their chops waiting to take your cats.
Cody Tucker joining us from 7220sports.com. Yeah, man. We dip our toes in the previews a little bit, but I don't know how for you. Like, you're doing these full write-ups, these full game previews. It's a different planet now to try to figure out who's going to be good, because everybody's got so many new players on their team. I don't know how you do it.
No question. I mean, I'm struggling right now. I'm already an hour into this thing just looking at who's coming back for Akron and looking at who they lost. I mean, as far as who's coming in, it's not even worth writing about, because I have no idea. I have no idea if they're going to be good at this level. And you can say the same thing about Wyoming in a lot of regards. You know, their two starting linebackers next Thursday in Akron could be a guy who spent the last few years at Lindenwood and a guy who spent the last few years at Oklahoma Baptist. We've seen them. They're huge. They're fast. They're making plays. Coaches are raving about them, but we've never seen it. So am I going to sit here and tell you that Braden Johnson and Ethan Stolsatz are all Mountain West guys? No, but I will tell you that the head coach has said Wyoming, to be successful, has to have an all Mountain West linebacker every year. Like, and that's something that is not foreign to this program. They did have one every year in and year out, and they need to get back to that.
Cody Tucker joining us, 7220sports.com. Cody, last one for you, and then we'll let you skedaddle. Just wanted to use that word at some point this week. Got it in on a Tuesday. Talk to me about this deal with the Buffalo Bills and what Wyoming's going to be doing, like this marketing campaign, sponsoring a game, basically. I think it's brilliant. You know, tie yourself to Josh Allen. Build that up even more, because he is a household name. I mean, I think it's a great marketing plan and also a chance to increase your pipelines around that area.
Yeah, love it. I absolutely love it. Talk about, you know, I heard from some Cowboy Joe guys during Frontier Days. They told me all about this, and I was like, man, you know, I'm giving you guys your flowers. Like, the way to think outside the box and, you know, strike while the iron's hot, and it's brilliant. I'm with you, man. I think it's really smart. Josh, every time he says go Pokes before a Monday Night Football game, that's $1 million worth of free advertising.
Yeah.
And it's huge. And in reading it, you know, they spent $300,000 on this. That's worth every penny. You can get into the whole, what does it cost for an out of state tuition guy? You end up getting just, you know, 10, 20 people from out of state that came because of that. You're paying that back and then some. So I think the brand awareness thing's huge. And you know, you're from out of state, so maybe you can speak to this better than me, but I think that bucking horse is so iconic. I think it's one of the best logos in all of sports, in all of anything. And, you know, you're getting it out there, and you're getting it in people's faces, and you're showing that, you know, I believe the slogan is where real MVPs are made, where underdogs are made, you know. That couldn't be more accurate. And Josh Allen is a perfect depiction of that, and he loves this university, and he has been, by far, nobody has been a greater ambassador than Josh Allen, and you really need to hit your wagon.
Yeah.
You know, applause to all of them for what they're doing. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
I do, too. You got to take advantage of this while he's in the league at his prime. You know, remind everybody where he played and see if you can tie in to some of those games. Cody, brilliant stuff from you as always. Always enjoy what you're putting out at 7220sports.com. And next week, this time next week, you're going to have more of a breakdown for us, hopefully, for Akron, as difficult as it is. But next week is game week, my friend. We're almost there.
No question, man. It's good. But in the meantime, pray for me. This is not fun going through this. And, you know, Akron, I feel for him, man. And I feel like we're going to be seeing, you know, Northern Iowa's on deck. I'd imagine I'm going to be seeing a lot of the same.
I think so, too, man. Well, keep up the great work. You're doing it. It's a difficult job now, especially with the transfer portal. But you do it well, my friend. We'll catch up with you next week.
Appreciate you, Brady, always. Thanks, Phil.
Cody Tucker, 7220sports.com. I think it's brilliant. You got to capitalize on the Josh Allen thing. 39 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
How far can you get in your scooter? Sir, I just want to know. How far can you go before that bad boy dies?
I don't know.
You haven't tested it yet? You got to know your limitations, man. Like, can you go 20?
I feel like that's a line from a commercial or a movie.
Can you go 20 miles? You think you can go 20?
Probably not.
15? 15 miles? Man, this is taking a while. 10 miles?
No. I mean, it does, like, if you're a lighter human being, then it helps you go farther. I am not on the lighter side, so like that probably hurts the mileage.
That hurts the mileage?
Yeah.
How fast can you go on that thing?
Top is 15 and a half. Oh. I have gotten it up to like 17 and a half.
Holy cow.
Well, what you have to do...
You are cooking on that thing. 17 miles?
17 and a half miles.
Oh, okay. Wow. Man, I bet you look like Lightning McQueen racing through the streets of Greeley.
You have to like be at the base of a hill and just start driving it, just really start pushing the thing. And as soon as you get to like the top of the hill, the engine is still going. So it like suddenly goes from 15 and a half pushing to 17 and a half.
You get to moving pretty good on that thing.
Yeah. And then it realizes, oh, oops, I'm going too fast. I better slow myself down.
Okay. I've seen you on that thing, man. It's a sight to be seen.
Yeah, it's a bat out of hell. Bat slowly moving to work.
Creeping to work. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Cody has me confused all the time because my picks last year, Mike, I went 41. What did I do? 41-28 between my six picks, and Wyoming was probably cost me about four of those. So I should have probably been closer to 45 or so, 45 and 24. So, but the problem is I get these insiders on the show and they get a belief in a team and then I start to buy what they're selling. And I listen, Cody is one of the best. Wyoming, that was a shocker. I thought they would at least be a bowl team last season. You know, everything Jay Sauvel was talking about, I was vibing off of that. Like, okay, you're gonna run the ball really well. I was drinking a little bit of the Cowboy Kool-Aid. I gotta be careful this year. They're gonna be like Akron. You have to come out and annihilate a team like that, right? And then they got Northern Iowa. Because after that, it's Utah, and they come to Boulder. I wonder if Go Pokes is going to that game. Curious how the fans are probably going to be cool to Cowboys fans. I would imagine the Buffs fans and Cowboys fans like each other because they both have a common enemy. They hate the Rams. No, you think they hate each other too?
Yeah, Buffs fans are hateful creatures.
Well, they've gotten that way. I mean, not all Buffs fans are bad.
I'm saying this as a Huskies fan who admits that Huskies fans are hateful creatures as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think all fan bases have those crazy, crazy people. I mean, look at the Broncos. I mean, I'm staring at one right now.
No, we're awesome people. We're true patriotic Americans.
Well, there's bad fans in every fan base, but I will admit, like, the Buffs fan base has changed so much the last 2 years. It's insane to me how nasty they can get, too. And they just take offense to everything. And again, these aren't like old school Buffs fans. These are
the new ones coming in that are just fans of Coach Prime, and as soon as if Coach Prime ever leaves, they won't watch a Buffs game again. And now they're Browns fans. So it's sprinkling over there into Cleveland. So have fun with that journey. 12:47 the time. I want to shout out to Norfolk Iron and Metal. They've been a family-run business for more than a century. What started as a hide-and-scrap metal company in 1908 has evolved into one of the industry's largest and most technologically advanced steel providers. Their Brighton location is looking to add you to their team. For more information on job availabilities and to apply, visit NorfolkIron.com. And we thank them for everything they do. They are an amazing company, some great people, and they've been a huge partner of the station for several years now. So we appreciate Norfolk Iron and Metal. 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. We got buy or sell, and Michael Porter Jr. won't stop talking. He's saying weird things. Like, the gambling thing was fascinating. He's talking about women now. A lot of women. Like, major amount of women. So many women. We're having.
Happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins. Good morning, NOCO is on it. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, this week's Game Beer of the Week, courtesy of On the Rocks Liquor, is the Pink Raptor. It is a raspberry sour sop and plum ale from our very own, like right here in our backyard, Tight Knit Brewing. Great people over there. Perfect. Just the right amount of perfect to end the summer. On the Rocks Liquor, make your next celebration on the rocks. Also, those Bronco blends that they have from Breckenridge are almost out. They have just a couple left. The 2025 bottles will be arriving. I think they got to On the Rocks Liquor yesterday. So you got to go pick those up, man. They do not last long.
So Brady, we had an adventure together this morning.
I sense a
second adventure immediately after the show, right to On the Rocks Liquor.
You said it's about 7 miles. You could scoot over there and then just hang out, charge it up, and see if they'd let you charge it up, and then scoot right back.
I don't have the battery power to get there.
So it's about 7 miles.
I don't have the battery power to get there. It's not fully charged.
Well, why aren't you charging it right now? Yeah, it's enough scooter talk. Buy or sell, we're going to be looking at the Colorado State and Washington line, too. So we'll get to that coming up. Also, I got to discuss this Michael Porter Jr. thing, man. Did the Nuggets keep a muzzle on him? Did they keep him from talking so much or is it the fact that he's in Brooklyn now and it's just getting noticed more? I don't know, but he is. Last week he was talking about the gambling thing and I thought it was very enlightening. This week he's talking about women and his relationships and how he views the relationships with women and why he won't date certain women, like that kind of thing. He's just out there talking a whole heck of a lot. Listen, I like Michael Porter Jr., but I don't think he's helping himself, man. Trying to increase his podcast brand or whatever. I mean, it's interesting. So we're going to talk about that. And then we got our opponent preview coming up. I have the Broncos. What do I have the Broncos at, Mike? Three and one?
I think you have them at 3-1.
3-1, because I took them to beat Cincinnati, which I'm very, that was a tough one for me. I flip-flopped on that one. But I've got them 3-1. Good start to the season. Things are cooking. But then they run into the Super Bowl champs. And I think one of the toughest quarterbacks in the league in Jalen Hurts. But it's not about the quarterback. Saquon Barkley, he's a problem. We'll talk about the Eagles, Broncos coming up next. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
The
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.